Just kind of want to sit here and listen to the choir sing that song a couple more times. I don't know about y'all. Thank y'all for that. It was beautiful. If you want to turn this morning, let's get into the Word. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to pick up on our study. If you weren't here last week, we really started in our study of the gospel according to Matthew. So if you want to find that, we're going to be starting at verse 18, and we're going to go down through 25 today. And the title of the sermon is Christmas in September. If you look at that, you're going to see that we're going to be talking about the Christmas story this morning. You're like, well, what in the world are you talking about that in September for? Because we're just going to preach through, and we're going to take wherever the Word of God takes us, and God wants to speak to us this morning through this. Last week, we looked at the genealogy of Jesus. We saw where there were all types of people in his family tree. They weren't all priests. They weren't all perfect people. There was all kinds of different people, all kinds of people from different walks of life that were used in Jesus' family tree. We also see that there was many promises fulfilled in Jesus' genealogy. We also discovered that in this long list of names, the Bible had a message for us. And it's things that I was telling you that I was guilty of how many times I just read through the names of the Jesus and the genealogy, and I just go, la, 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 let's go on down, start at verse 18, you know? And we kind of chuckled about that, but that's what we do sometimes. So we talked about how powerful it is at Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba and all the different kings and all the different promises that we see in the genealogy of Jesus. Well, today we're going to go through the part of the scripture that's usually only gone through once, maybe twice a year in most churches. We're going to look in the Matthew's account of the birth of our Savior, of Jesus Christ. See, we have to understand that the coming of God's Son into the world is the most incredible event that has ever been recorded in the history of creation. Do we understand that, church? And yet, usually we only celebrate it once a year. So think about it this morning. A baby was conceived by the Spirit of God through a virgin. All right, just wrap your brain around that if you want to. The birth of Jesus created quite a predicament. If you look at it, if you look at what was going on in that time and what Joseph and Mary went through with that, it created quite the stir. The birth involved a direct revelation from God as he brought angels and came down and spoke to Joseph. We're going to go through all this. This birth fulfilled prophecies from the Old Testament. And the birth stirred all these people into obedience, to obey God. It's a powerful, powerful story. It's not just a scene of a manger and some animals and all those things. It wasn't just a time that we can celebrate to give gifts. This was God sending Jesus into the broken world, his perfect son, to change the course of eternity. We should read it every Sunday. Amen? So let's read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. The birth of Jesus the Messiah. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. Some translations say he was a righteous man. Was a good man, and he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What a message that Joseph got that day. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. How many know God is with us this morning? When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born and Joseph named him Jesus. What a powerful, powerful part of scripture we just read this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we have his life as an example, Lord. All the things that he did, all the things that he taught us through his life and his ministry and the miracles and all the confirmations, Lord, that even came through his genealogy all the way through his birth, and how it just proves that you are a God of miracles. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. And we need to be reminded of that daily, Lord, because we get beat down by the world. But Lord, there's a God who created us who is a God who can speak and miracles happen, who can just breathe and miracles happen. Lord, that's the God that we serve this morning. That's the God that we come to read about, just like the song said, in the living word. Lord, we're going to stand on the promises of God this morning. Lord, we love you. Lord, I just pray as we go through this scripture, Lord, that you would speak to each person here, that you would speak to my heart. And Lord, that we would hear your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's do like we do, and let's go back to verse 18. So we're going to try to break this down. We're going to try to go through this. It's a lot of scripture, but if you were here last week, we saw where Matthew, in this genealogy, he was making sure that he pointed out that Jesus was born of the Spirit. Remember, he said Joseph wasn't his dad. Joseph was married to Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. He made sure to point that out, so we understood that Jesus' father is God. Well, he doesn't waste any time reiterating this fact here as we get right into verse 18, does he? He says he never before has a person been born by the Spirit of God. Never before in the history of time has somebody been born by the Holy Spirit until Jesus Christ. And we have to stop right here for just a second. See, this is a crucial, crucial, crucial part of our faith as Christians. We have to stop right here, and we have to ask ourselves, because even if we grew up in church, even if this is the first time we've heard it, it doesn't matter. We have to really question ourselves, do we really believe that God could do this? Do we really believe that God could do what he said he just did? Because this is where it all begins, where the Holy Spirit gave Jesus life inside of a virgin named Mary. See, this just reveals how easy miracles are for God. If he is God of all creation, me and Adam were talking about this last night. If he is God that is all holy and he is perfect and he never makes mistakes, he never forgets his promises, any of those things, we have to understand he also created miracles, didn't he? Try to wrap your brain around that. So the God who performs miracles is the one that created them. So why would it be hard for him to work a miracle in your life when he's the God who created you? He's the God who created the fact that we can have miracles. It all comes from him. Wrap your brain around that for just a second while you're looking at verse 19. Look at verse 19. Here we see that Jesus' birth created quite the predicament like we talked about a few minutes ago. You see, Joseph was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He was a good man. He strived to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Here he is engaged to be married, and his fiancée becomes pregnant. What was he to think? Put yourself in his shoes. What would you think? Now, it's easy for us to read it and just say, oh, well, you know, an angel of the Lord came and the Holy Spirit, you know. But think about this. If you're engaged to be married and you know you didn't have a part to do with it, and your fiance comes and says, I'm pregnant. Can you imagine? What was he to do? What was he to think? See, he was no doubt upset. There's no way that his heart could not immediately have gone to the worst of the worst scenarios. Because he was human. He was probably heartbroken. Obviously, he said he was going to break it off with her. Thinking Mary had been unfaithful to him. He had to have thought the worst. But instead of exposing her to the authorities, Joseph loved her enough to protect her. Because he didn't want her to get hurt, even though he was hurt by her, even though he felt probably that she had cheated on him or whatever, you know, what he was going through his mind, the heartbreak or whatever, he didn't go out and just say, Mary did this, look what she did. See, he wanted to divorce her quietly, in secret, to protect her. See, Mary could have been stoned to death. We have to understand, in this day and age, a woman would have been dragged out into the street and they would have thrown rocks at her until she was dead. Can you imagine other than hanging on a cross, of a more painful way to die? This is the time that they were living in. See, there's a lesson in this church. There's a lesson in this church and how Joseph handled this. Joseph is showing here that there is absolutely no room for gossip. There's absolutely no room for judgment among God's people. There's no room for us to point the finger and say, oh, Mary messed up. Look what she did. And even though we don't do that sometimes, we still think it. And we go around and we whisper it around about people. Did you hear what they did? Did you hear? Oh, pray for them. That's a good one, isn't it? We talked about that before. Pray for them. We even use a prayer request as a form of gossip sometimes. See, Mary's sin was great in Joseph's eyes. But Joseph loved Mary, and true love is full of grace. Church, listen to me this morning. True love is full of grace. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says this. If you look in your bulletin, there's a place for notes. If you want to jot down some of these, we're going to go through them pretty quick. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. I love that. It covers a multitude of sins. Colossians 3:12, God's word says this. Since God chose you to be holy, a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What kind of patience did it take for Joseph when he finds out that his soon-to-be wife is pregnant and it wasn't by him? See, the person who has real love will not act out of anger or rage when they get news like this. They will pray through it. They will handle every situation the way that God would have them handle it. That's a true Christian. That's a sign of a mature believer. This is also a lesson that we learn right here in this scripture about being equally yoked. This is something we talk about with young people all the time, and we try to encourage people. Good thing Mary didn't settle, right? Good thing Mary didn't just give the first person in her little village or wherever she lived, where she was walking through the street, or when she went to the well to get some water, the first guy that flirted with her that might have been drinking and he might have been serving the world. Good thing she didn't settle for him, right? What do you think he would have done when he got this news? He'd have probably thrown her out in the street and had her stoned. But see, she was equally yoked. That's a whole other sermon. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail today. But there's a message in it for us because, see, she was a virtuous woman who found a righteous man. Look at verse 20 and 21. Joseph did what we all should do here before we act. What does it say he did? He said he got alone with God and considered the situation. He got alone and he just went and considered the situation. The King James Version says it like this. It says, while he thought on these things. So he took the time just to sit and think about this. What do I do? How do I handle this? And if he was a righteous man, there's no doubt in my mind that he was praying, say, God, show me what to do about this. What do I do? How do I handle this? See, because he took the time, because he stopped to depend on God. He said, God, how should I handle this? How do you want me to handle this? What did God do? He met him there, didn't he? And he gave him a direct revelation that confirmed that Mary had told him, and what she had told him was the exact truth. That's the power of not acting out of our flesh and going to God first and say, God, help me through this. What do I do? How do you want me to handle this? Because he always will meet us. See, God not only calmed his fears, but he silenced all those doubts that run through our mind. Listen what the angel called Joseph. Listen what she called. He didn't say, hey, Joseph. He says, Joseph, he called him the son of David. We talked about this last week. What was he doing? The angel was reminding Joseph that he was in the line of David. He was saying, see, this is all part of my plan. This is all part of my plan. You're in this line of David. We talked about that last week. God had to wake him up a little bit. God had to wake him up. Here he was sleeping in the middle of the night. He was all these doubts and all these things were running through his mind. And God had to wake him up. Say, wake up, Joseph. Remember, you're a son of David. Aren't we like Joseph sometimes? Don't we get alone? Don't we get in the dark? Don't we, when we're sitting by ourselves, don't we start doubting God? Don't we start doubting his promises? Don't we start asking God why I'm going through this? What do I do, God? What do I need? Why me? But see, when we do this, we forget the promises that God has given us. The promise of eternity with him. We forget that we're part of the family of God. If we put our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ, we're in the family of God. How could you ask for anything better than that? You see, Joseph heard from God because he stopped to listen. We're too busy. We're too busy most of the time. I'm too busy most of the time. Sometimes I say, man, I'm just having a hard time with my message. I'm having a hard time focusing on studying. And you know why? And Jenny will call me out on this. She said, you need to turn your phone off. people are calling, it's buzzing, I'm looking at this, and I start looking at junk that I want to buy to fix up, you know, on the internet. I get distracted. She said, you need to turn your phone. A buddy of mine that you've spoken here many times, Gary Osteen, told me one time, he said, Anthony, all God wants is a little bit of our time. If you just give him a little bit of your time, he'll speak to you and he'll give you the message. But every week I have to get back to that place where I have to say, okay, God, I'm sorry, let me try this again. And let me just get alone with you. And that's when my little finger typing can't keep up with God, because he's just pouring it into me. He said, that's all I wanted, was your time. It doesn't matter whether you're preparing a sermon, whether you're going through a trial, whatever it is. If you give God the time, if you sit still and be quiet before him, he will always get you through it. My grandfather, Clore, used to always tell me, he's with the Lord right now, no doubt. He told me that he said, when I used to go meet with him, when he was retired from the ministry. He was a Baptist preacher for years, and for years I spent, you know, half of my life to this point running from the Lord. And I had just surrendered to the Lord, and I was meeting with him, and I was trying to soak up as much of his wisdom. I wanted him to tell me that it was going to be okay. I was like, I don't know if I can do this, but I know God's calling me into the ministry, and I don't know what to do, and you know, and I'm freaking out. And I remember him just telling me these stories. He said, Anthony, he said, there's times that I didn't have money to buy a jar of peanut butter. But if I had to go all over again, I wouldn't change anything in my life, because God always was faithful, and he always supplied everything I needed. And he told me this one day. He said, always keep a note pen and a little piece of paper beside your bed. And he said, because God will wake you up. He'll wake you up in the middle of the night, and he'll lay a verse on your heart. He'll wake you up, and he'll just give you a small little whisper, or maybe sometimes you might even hear him say, Isaiah 54. Or John 3:16, or whatever, some scripture that you need to go look up. And if you know what, if you go back to sleep, he said, if you go back to sleep, if you're like me, you're going to forget about it. He said, take the time to put a little notepad and a pen and wake up. When God wakes you up and gives something on your heart, just jot it down so you remember it in the morning. It just made me think about him when I was thinking about Joseph getting woke up and getting this revelation from the Lord. You see, the right frame of mind, the right preparation, the right frame of mind is essential. If we want to hear from God, our heart has to be in the right place. We have to want to hear from him. Not just when times of trouble come, but even when we're on top of the mountain, we have to set aside time and say, God, I want to hear from you. See, the believer who takes the time to get alone with God and thinks through their problems will always be met by God. It might not be the way that you expected. It might not be the answer that you want, but he will always meet you. He is faithful to meet you there. And we follow Joseph's example. We follow Mary's example of the faithfulness. We'll avoid so much drama in our life. So many mistakes, so many regrets, so much drama will be avoided if we just do what God tells us to do and trust him. God will meet us in that quiet time, and he'll give us the assurance and guide us, just like he did with Joseph. Look at verse 21. Joseph was a simple, regular, working Joe. Just a carpenter. He was a regular guy who probably forgot that he was in the line of David. Just a regular guy, and yet God chose him to be the earthly father of the Messiah for all eternity. To be the earthly father, the one that was going to raise Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Good thing he didn't choose me, because I would have butchered that. Some of the things I do as a dad, I'm always like, yeah, dad of the year. You know, yesterday me and Blake were messing around in the living room, in the dining room, and I just kind of grabbed him like I was going to roughhouse with him. We tripped over each other, and I fell on top of him and hurt his ankle, and he left the room mad at me and wanted to fight me, and I said, you know, dad of the year moment, you know. Good thing he chose Joseph and not me. See, God has a track record of using regular people to do extraordinary things. Regular people like me, regular people like each one of you to do extraordinary things. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that we sang about. See, God has a track record of this. God looks at people a little bit differently than we look at people. He looks at people totally different than we look at people. Matthew 20, verse 16 says this, so those who are last will be first then, and those who are first will be last. What a humbling statement. We went Friday night. I had the opportunity to go speak to human traffic survivors at a banquet. It was called a survivor's banquet. It was ladies that had been rescued from human trafficking. The things that these women have been through, I will not even repeat in front of my daughter and some of the ladies that are here. For years, they were held captive and abused. And many of them are still living that life, even though the guy that put them through all this, the monster that put them through all this, is serving 7 life sentences. They're still living a life on the streets in prostitution and drug use, addicted to drugs. They're all tattooed up and they just look skinny and frail and they just look unhealthy and there are dark circles around their eyes and they just look like they have no hope in life. They look like they've just been beat down by the world, which they have. And if someone was to look at the crowd of people that we were there, that I got the chance to go minister to and share the love of Christ with, that Jenny got to share, that we got to go see what they have been through and hear some of their stories, the world would look at them and say, look at that crackhead. Look at that prostitute. Look at that nasty woman. See, God sees them as a precious soul. God sees them as a precious soul that was worth the life of his son. He watched his son be beaten and hung on a cross for their souls. This is what we see in our God. Here we see God telling Joseph what to name the child. If you look a little bit further on, let's look down on 21. What a powerful time in history. The name above all names being revealed to Joseph. The name that has the most powerful name for all eternity being revealed to Joseph here. The name of Jesus in the original Greek, if I can say this right, is Iesus, which means Savior, or He will save. The Hebrew word for Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. You see, no matter what language you say it in, the name of Jesus means what? It means salvation. It means deliverance. The angel told Joseph that the child in his fiancée's womb was going to save the people from their sin. What a powerful message that he got in that dream. Can you only imagine the poor guy, the emotional roller coaster that he was dealing with in life? He goes from, number one, thinking that his fiance had cheated on him, probably. Trying to think, like, well, what do I do with this? How do I deal with this? I'll never be able to forgive her, whatever. To see, having an angel come and say, oh, no, God put that baby in there. What kind? And guess what? And you're going to name the baby Jesus, and he's going to be the promised Messiah, and he's going to save people of their sin. Can you imagine? It's amazing that Joseph didn't have a heart attack from dealing with all this. But praise God that he never calls us without seeing us through the calling. Amen? He wasn't going to call Joseph to go through this and not meet him there and say, I got this. Look at verse 22 and 23. The birth of Jesus was a direct fulfillment of prophecy. This is exactly what we see. Matthew stresses 2 particular prophecies here that he fulfilled. Number one is this. The prophecy that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. Number 2 is that Jesus would be called what? Emmanuel. He's referring to Isaiah 7:14. Listen to this. All right then. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says this. For a child is born to us. A lot of times we hear this at Christmas time. Lighting candles and all this. But listen to this. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. It's not talking about for 4 years either. It's talking about for eternity. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, if you've ever noticed, Matthew didn't give a detailed account of the birth of Jesus. He didn't give us, like Luke does, all the little details of Jesus' birth. Because his main point, his main concern was to point out the fact that, number one, the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. They had come to fulfillment in this day. And number two was to prove that Jesus was to be born of a what? A virgin. You see, some of the people had misinterpreted the Old Testament prophecies. There was people who were thinking like, well, no, it's not really supposed to be born of a virgin. He's not going to be born of a virgin. They were going around. We do the same thing. We have seminary schools that teach, well, you know, Noah's Ark really didn't happen. It's just a parable, you know. So we still misinterpret the scripture. We're guilty of that. While other people do what we still do, they were spreading false reports. They were saying, oh, did you hear? Jesus was born out of wedlock. He can't be the Messiah because he was born in sin. See, Matthew was showing that Jesus was what? The King of Kings. And Matthew was showing that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised. It was promised. Look at verse 24 and 25. Here we see a great example of obedience to God. If you look in these two verses, you will see the best, just crazy amount of obedience to God. Despite the predicament that they were in, despite the rumors that were probably floating around, despite the appearance of what things look like, Joseph did what? He did exactly what God told him to do. Against all odds, he said, okay, God, I'm not going to listen to all that. I'm going to follow you. And here's Mary, pregnant, not married. I don't know what I would do with that. I don't know what you would do with that. People were probably gossiping. The neighbors were probably whispering. Can you imagine, especially that day and age, she was probably thinking she was going to get stoned to death. And what did they, or when they say, oh, okay, well, don't stone me to death because an angel of the Lord put this baby here. How many people do you think actually bought that? How many people do you think actually thought this was like a reliable story? I can only imagine what would have happened when me and Jenny were dating if I came to Jimmy, her dad, and said, Jenny's pregnant, but an angel did it. Can you imagine that conversation? He'd probably punch me square in the face and I wouldn't even remember what I said. I wouldn't even remember that I told him that. See, what a crazy event that is recorded here in the scripture. We have to understand how crazy this is and how amazing it is. Joseph and Mary were in a predicament like none other, yet despite all this, they did exactly what God told them to do. What a lesson for us as believers. So often when God calls us to do something that just seems crazy, so often when God calls us to do something that just looks like it's impossible, or that we're not good enough for that, we have to remember that God is the creator of life itself. And if he can create us and he can call us to do something, he certainly can strengthen us enough to do it. Amen? Our part is to simply follow Joseph and Mary's example and simply be obedient to God. That's all he wants. It's for us to be obedient to his calling. And then he starts putting us in that sweet spot that my brother Dwayne always tells me to stay in. Stay in the sweet spot, brother. Stay in the sweet spot. God's got you in the sweet spot. He tells me this all the time. Keep following God's will. That's a sweet spot. Our part is to be obedient to God. John 14:21 says this. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Are you hearing that this morning, church? This doesn't mean follow a bunch of rules. It has a part to do with that. We're supposed to follow what God tells us to do. But he's also talking about those who obey his calling. What's God calling you to do this morning? Listen to what he says. He says, and because they love me, my Father will love them. I don't know about you, but if somebody loves you, they're not going to abandon you, are they? God's not going to call you to do something and then say, okay, good luck, you're on your own. He says, and because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. See, Jesus is telling us right here that all we have to do is that if we really love him, if we really love him, we will obey him. I want to encourage you this morning while we close. Maybe you feel like you haven't heard from God lately. Maybe you think God has been distant from you. Maybe you think you're going through something that God can't see you through, whatever that might be. I want to encourage you this week. I want you to encourage you right now as we're singing to be still before God. Look what Joseph did. He just stopped and he thought about all these things. Stop and think. The song that we're going to sing is How Great Thou Art. Stop and just think about how great God is and tell me that you're not encouraged. How great thou art. Maybe you haven't heard from God because you've been running from God. Maybe the reason you haven't heard from God is because you haven't been obedient to God. And God's been calling you to do something like he was calling me for years and I ran from him. Of course you're going to be distant from him if you're running from him. How great thou art. Just focus on that. I just want you to remember this morning as we sing, Jesus will save you from your sin. That's what he was sent to do. That's what this whole message, this is where it all begins right here. I'm going to close, and I promise we're going to close with this. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. If you have your Bibles with you, just want to go ahead and turn there, because I want you to read this, and I want you to mark it, and I want you to meditate over it this week. Whatever you're going through, I want you to think about this. And the Lord gave me this while the choir was singing this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says this. Still hear pages rustling, so we're going to wait till you're there. This is what it says. This is the New Living Translation. It says, God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says. And He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm going to read that again. God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says. And He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is inviting you this morning into an awesome relationship with Him this morning. And He's not going to call you to that. He's not going to call you to that and let you down. I can guarantee you that. He's not going to call you to go to Ocracoke and serve people there and let you down. He's not going to call you to India to go serve people. He's not going to call you to go to Africa. He's not going to call you to minister to that person at the cubicle next to you and leave you stranded. If God has laid it on your heart to do something, no matter what it is, maybe it's just to give your life to Him today. He is faithful to do what He says. He will forgive you of your sins. He will heal you. He will strengthen you to do whatever ministry He's calling you to do. But if you're not willing to be obedient, you're quenching the Spirit. You're choking Him out because He doesn't want to force His way on us. He wants us to obey Him. And He wants us to want to serve Him. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, stand as we sing. Come as we sing. I'll be glad to pray with you if you want to join this church. If you need prayer, whatever God is calling you to this morning, maybe you just want to come up this morning and just spend some time being still before the Lord before we leave this place and just get your heart right and think on these things. Come as we sing. Hymn number 10.